It's very hard to wrap your head around that. It's a principle that doesn't work on paper. I've seen the budget that doesn't work with a tithe included, and yet when I give the tithe first, the budget works. I can't explain it. It reminds me of the little boy with loaves and fishes who gave away all that he had, but at the end of the day, he went home with more. This principle is not only in the church. Even the secular world recognizes that those who are givers are more successful in their careers. Adam Grant is a psychologist at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. In his book called Give and Take, he demonstrates with many examples and lots of research that living a generous life is a good strategy, even in the business world. He says that it pays off in the long term to be a giver. He writes, "Being a giver is not good for the 100-yard dash, but it's valuable in a marathon." Similarly, according to the book, The God-Shaped Brain, dozens of studies over several decades have examined the relationship between volunteer work and your health. And this is what they have found. Among youth, the evidence suggests that volunteer work is associated with positive developmental outcomes, such as academic achievement, responsibility, leadership, and self-confidence. Among adults, it is reported that volunteers tended to live more than those who did not volunteer. And not only do they live longer, but they live better, too. It was found that those who give of themselves on a regular basis were 30% less likely to experience physical limitations. And what they did experience was delayed on an average of 3 to 5 years as compared to those who did not volunteer. Jennings says, "To give is to live. This is how God designed life to function." And Proverbs tells us, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." And I'd like to bring up Brian.
All right. Great stuff. Mm. So if you guys with the baskets would come back. Oh, no. Not really. I'm going to pick up there in 2 Corinthians where Carol left off. So Paul continues by saying, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you." And then Paul ends with this exclamation, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." So Paul's explaining to the church in Corinth that their example of generosity will allow people to see God's goodness and God's generosity. Now, this may not seem like a significant point when we talk about the spiritual aspects, but it is. You see, it's possible for people who don't know Christ to be generous. In our culture, we refer to them as philanthropists. And there are statues and plaques and all kinds of ways that those people are honored in almost every public space. Now, again, not in all of those cases did those people ask for that. Not all of them do that with the hopes that they'll get some gain back. But I'm going to be honest. If it were me and I didn't know Christ, I would want something back. I would at least want the recognition, right? But there's something spiritually about when we connect this idea of giving and thanksgiving with God that it doesn't matter anymore who gets credit. It doesn't matter if anybody even knows. I do not believe there's a plaque in Jerusalem for the Corinthians, but there is a church there. And God is still honored and worshiped. And I don't believe there's a group of people in Corinth lobbying that their ancestors from 2,000 years ago get a plaque put up in Jerusalem. Though I haven't been to Corinth this week. So I guess that could happen. But you see, when we grasp the enormity of the gift God has given us, which is forgiveness, deliverance, adoption as sons and daughters, then we understand that the credit needs to go to Him anyway. It's no longer about us. And so the whole idea of receiving as opposed to giving is wiped off because it's not about us anymore. And if you're like me, even when you try to make it about yourself, in some way the Holy Spirit gently or sometimes not so gently reminds you that it's not about you. Luke 7, Jesus tells a story about being at Simon the Pharisee's house. And there's a lot of people gathered, and as he is just reclining there, enjoying time with these folks, a lady comes in, a lady that it says was known to be sinful. And she starts anointing him. She takes perfume, pours it on his feet, and dries his feet with her hair. And as awkward as that sounds, I'm sure it was. That would be so I'm eating whatever they were eating. Again, I'm in the reclining position, and this woman won't quit touching my feet. That would be awkward. And what made it even more awkward is that the Pharisees and those who were in charge of the meal are going, my goodness, does he not know who that is? Does he not recognize that woman? And there's this whole gossip thing going on about who she is and why she shouldn't be touching him and why he shouldn't let her touch him. And Jesus kind of speaks to him about that, again, that gentle or not so gentle reminder that this is not about you. And he speaks to Simon, he says, you didn't wash my feet. You did nothing to show me the hospitality that anybody should have received when they came in your door. But this woman has showed it. And then he says this, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever's been forgiven little loves little. The reason the woman's there is that she has already had a previous encounter with Jesus. That's what the text says. She's responding because she already knows she's been forgiven. She can't help but do what she's doing because she has come in contact with my great love and she's experienced what I have to offer. But for those of you who are sitting here enjoying this nice meal, who think you've accomplished it all yourselves and find very little to thank anybody else for Brian's interpretation, you don't get it. Because it's still all about you. You've not really experienced the gift that's been offered. When we understand spiritually the enormity of the gift, it transforms us. The more we are thankful to God for His gifts, the more we will naturally, no, the more we will supernaturally give to others. as Carol described, it's something that comes out of us that we're thinking, and we look at it on paper, and every part of us in our human minds and our understanding is going, this isn't going to work. But there's something supernatural in us that says, yeah, it will. And God will prove himself over and over again. Giving spiritually breaks the spirit of entitlement that is so prevalent in our culture. Because when we become better givers, spiritually, God's transforming generosity to us naturally overflows to others for his glory. When we become thanksgivers, when our lives are focused on the gratefulness that we have toward God and his work in us, whether that is salvation, which is enough, just that alone is enough. But again, I always want to be reminded that it's not just about what God saved me from, but what he saved me for. God has good things for you. It's not just about getting to heaven. Though I think that'll be a wonderful gift when we arrive there. It's about the kingdom life lived now. And there have been plenty of times that I've not been thankful. But again, the Holy Spirit intervenes and goes, "Now wait a minute here. I need you to rethink this with my help." Let me tell you about a couple named James. Carol, you started it. James and Lillian Walker. In the first church I worked in, there was an older couple that just always seemed to be giving. They lived in a small house, two-bedroom, one-bath, little house in Corpus Christi. They were both retired, living on fixed incomes, and they loved to fish, which is probably made them more like Jesus than other things they did. I don't know. But no, they loved to fish. But the thing about James and Lillian is that they always had something to share. They were at the church constantly. They catered meals. They were the Johnny Fussell, Randy Watts, all that crew, except it was usually just the two of them. And they would cater meals for the whole church. They loved to cook. And they just loved that spirit of hospitality. They always had people in their house. They always had fish to spare. But I found out after I'd been there a few years, in my later years as I was a part of leadership, that not only did their lives demonstrate generosity and hospitality and in the way they treated people, but this very simple couple were one of the biggest monetary givers to the church. And it's because they did without a lot of stuff so that they could give. Again, it makes no sense. They enjoyed fishing, but they fished because that put food on their table, which allowed them to give more money to the church. And there was nothing. They were so unassuming. There was nothing about their lives that would make you think they had money left over or that they were some of the largest givers in the church. But here's James' story. He didn't grow up in the church. He didn't know Christ. He didn't know about God. And he met God at the low point of his life when, as an alcoholic, his wife is ready to leave and his kids hate him. And God met him, delivered him from that addiction, and changed his life. And he couldn't help but keep giving and giving in every area of his life to try to respond in some way to God's great generosity to him. They were the first couple that Shaylee and I, after we got married, ever met with for prayer. You see, when we understand how God gives, again, something comes out of us so that every area of our lives is transformed and we just become givers. Spiritual, it is something that happens on that supernatural level. It is spiritual in nature. And we're transformed. And like Carol, at times we can look back and see specific places where that happened. And for some of us maybe who are a little more hard-headed like myself, it's a process where I have to look back a number of years and see the gradual part of it. But it's life-changing and it's life-transforming to have generous hearts and be generous with our lives. Matthew 10:8 says this, as Jesus sends out his disciples with the gifts that he's given them to offer to others, he says, freely you have received, freely give. Guys, it's not, very little of this is about the physical, about monetary, though those are usually the easier testimonies to remember and to identify. But I believe, as we've preached over and over again, that God has gifted this church and he's gifted each one of you in some way that you have something to offer to others. But you'll never know it until you step out and try. If you have the gift of healing, and I do believe that, again, though we don't have it as Christ did, that some people have more of that to offer than others. Whether it's in healing or prophecy or miracles. But how will we know that if we never take the risk? As your pastor, I want to encourage you. I will never offer a challenge to you that I don't accept for myself. Let's take those risks. Let's take what God has given to us so freely and so generously, and let's offer it to others. Stand with me. I want you to take just a minute and just... think of something that you're thankful for. Think of something you're thankful for, and then share it with somebody standing there close to you. Yeah, this is not something we normally do, so again, you got to kind of bust out of that normal kind of way of thinking and interaction. Yes, it's prayer time, but I want you to talk to somebody. Share with somebody close by something you're thankful for. All right. Here's the point of that. All of us have something to be thankful for. And most of us have these enormous things to be thankful for. And even more of us in this room right now have those things because we're here right now because God has provided that for us, and we recognize that. So the challenge is, take it outside these walls. Find somebody who does not recognize the gift of God's grace and mercy, maybe because their circumstances seem so desperate. And offer something to them. I am not necessarily talking about financial, though I believe the Holy Spirit will tell you if it's that. Maybe what you need to offer them is hope. Maybe what you need to offer him is friendship. But I believe that one of the prayers that we can pray that we know God will always answer, because it's always in his will, is, Lord, show me somebody that you want to bless and let me be a part of it. God will answer that prayer every single time, because without a doubt, I know that's within his will. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come forward. This morning, again, the group that gathers here for ministry may or may not recognize supernatural gifts that God has given them. Again, they may or may not recognize that they have a gift of miraculous healing or of faith that, again, as Paul describes, is miraculous. But I don't think you have to have the gift for God to work in you either. So if there's something that you desire, then I want you to come and get prayer. Let them partner with you to pray, to ask for what you need. Again, we do believe in supernatural healing. We do believe that God intervenes in circumstances of debt and sometimes breaks that off. We believe that our God delivers from a spirit of poverty, or the other extreme, a spirit of entitlement, where I deserve this thing. So if there's any of those things, come and ask. Stand with these folks and say, or maybe you're just feeling like, I want to be a more thankful person. I don't think of myself as someone who's thankful. Come down. Let's pray about that. And let's be encouraged. And again, let's go out and share that thankfulness to a lost world who is just bound up in entitlement and want and getting. I'm going to pray as I release you, but I have asked that some men stand at the doors at the back. Next week, we start our Advent series. And so they're going to give each family a booklet that we'll be following as we go through Advent. So as you go out the back doors, get one of those booklets. Again, we have one for every family. Take those as you go. As you read that each week, we'll be following that in our preaching. So if the men who are going to help with that can get in place. Other than that, again, come forward for prayer. And just have a blessed week. Father, I thank you again for this group. I ask your blessing on them. I pray this week for a spirit of generosity to overwhelm each one of us, that you would bring us in contact with people, and then, Father, you would give us a gift to offer them. We love you and we thank you. We praise you for the great gift of life that you've given us. And I just ask you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to go with God's blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen.